are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, August 15th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Trump denounces Nazis, but everyone knows he's lying. And then, just to make it up to his nativist base, he mentions he's also considering pardoning Sheriff Arpaio. Meanwhile, the Confederacy losing again as monuments drop across, well, the country. Iran deal perhaps in peril as generals try to convince Donald Trump not to bomb or start a war with North Korea. The Department of Justice demands the IP addresses of hundreds of thousands of visitors to an anti-Trump site. And an anti-government terror suspect attempted to blow up an Oklahoma City building. Meanwhile, eco-terrorist Scott Pruitt dismantling the EPA in secret. And Trump is encouraging insurance companies to charge more money or get out of the exchanges. And lastly, Ohio charter school fraud spreads to Florida. All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Going to go down the news one more time today. As there was just so much of it and still trying to absorb what happened this weekend and the fallout from it. And, you know, I don't think we have the video of the father of the woman who was killed. Oh, we do have that? Yeah, this is, let's play this. I mean, this is, I found this incredibly moving. The mother had a statement that was equally moving, but this guy has, well, just very well spoken about his daughter's commitment. And also went on to say, I don't know if we have the full clip, but went on to say that it's important to show forgiveness, that he felt forgiveness for the man who rammed essentially his daughter to death with a car. I don't necessarily share his optimism in that regard, but it was really moving.
My daughter was a strong woman that had passionate opinions about the equality of everyone, and she tried to stand up for that. And with her, it wasn't lip service. It was real. You know, it was something that she wanted to share with everyone, you know. And my thoughts about all of this stuff is that people need to stop hating, and they need to forgive each other, you know. And I include myself in that, in forgiving the guy that did this. Okay, he don't know no better. You know, I just think of what the Lord said on the cross. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know? My daughter's life, I'm proud of her. Proud of her for standing up. She's she had more courage than I did. She had a stubborn backbone that if she thought she was right, she would stand there and defy you.
Yeah, I don't know that I could have that type of reaction, to have that sort of generosity of spirit. But, you know, there it is. Pretty impressive, you know, obviously when this guy is in agonizing pain, having lost his daughter, for simply going out there and protesting against people who are literally preaching hatred towards others because of their race or their ethnicity. Good for that guy. Meanwhile, Donald Trump yesterday gave a, I guess, a second, had a second bite at the apple, as it were, to come out, and I don't even think we have sound of it, because why bother? I mean, even the white supremacists didn't take it seriously. I think Spencer, what's his name, Richard Spencer, you know, said, I didn't buy that hokum. He had to go and do that. And the kumbaya stuff.
He said only a dumb person would believe that.
Only a dumb person. And frankly, I don't know that there's anybody who's believing it. I mean, you have now, and there was a piece in the New York Times today about how cowardly the CEOs on Donald Trump's manufacturing board and business boards are. And despite that fact, you have three or four that have already left. Merrick's CEO left yesterday, the only African American on the board. Under Armour's Kevin Plank left the manufacturing council yesterday as well. And now the CEO of Intel has left. And the others are apparently too afraid to go because they don't want to be on Donald Trump's bad side. You know, look, they... the heads of these companies, I mean, I don't know how sincere they are when they leave in this, but they simply make a calculation that it's time for them to leave. Maybe they are sincere, but to the extent that they are, then they've been deluding themselves, because I don't know why they sat on that board in the first place. It's not like Donald Trump's failure to admonish Nazis in a timely fashion has been the only clue to his disposition about these things. I mean, honestly, the amount of delusion that would be involved in that would have to be pretty stunning. So, nevertheless, I welcome anybody rejecting Donald Trump in any fashion. And this is fun. Turns out Donald Trump, somebody did an analysis of Donald Trump's Twitter feed. And I guess there is a, there's a site that tracks Donald Trump's tweets. And so it makes it really easy to analyze and search them. And it turns out that Donald Trump has used the word racist or racism at least 56 times on Twitter, which...
You might not expect that.
No, that's impressive. It is his, as you know, his main conduit to speak to the people, whether he was a fraudulent businessman or a fraudulent president. And it is the only way for him to get the unvarnished truth about what's in his heart to the American public. And so he's used the word racist or racism 56 times on Twitter. Good for him. In 2/3 of those tweets, Trump levied accusations of racism at individuals or groups of people. And those accusations followed a very clear pattern. This shows the depth of Donald Trump's principles and ideological beliefs. Trump has directed accusations of racism toward black people three times as often as he's done so against whites.
Are you serious? Look at the one he has up now.
Yes.
That does not surprise me. This is me. This is like...
Well, okay, I'm going to read it. Okay, how is ABC television allowed to have a show entitled Blackish? Can you imagine the furor of a show Whitish? Racism at the highest level? Question mark. I have to say,
his brain is silly putty. He's a moron.
Can't imagine the furor of a show called Whitish. I would imagine it would be somewhere on the 0 to nothing meter. Frankly,
if it was making fun of white people, the outrage would be coming from a different part.
Yeah, it actually sounds like a fun satire show. Matt and I should start working on a treatment for it right now. Whitish.
Trump has accused former MSNBC host Torre of being a racist. He accused HBO Real Sports host Bryant Gumbel
of Bryant Gumbel
of being a racist.
What did Bryant Gumbel say? Yes. You know, some fans at sporting events shout rude things. Racist.
He's also accused Tavis Smiley of being a racist. And to be fair, he's also accused some white people of being...
victims of racism?
No, of being racist, including Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, and David Letterman.
Big league social justice.
Big league racist. What if Torre didn't acknowledge MC Search's role in hip hop or something?
This is very indicative of Donald Trump's supporters, the majority of whom believe that racism against whites causes more damage to whites than racism against blacks causes to blacks. I'm not even sure if you need to comment on that. Because if you think otherwise, I'm not even sure you had the ability to download or stream this podcast, because what would be involved in terms of the technical knowledge you would have to have and the ability to press buttons and click on buttons that aren't even there except for on images on a screen.
In business, we call it barriers to entry.
Which white people suffer at an alarming rate.
What are barriers usually? They're black. I mean, literally, you can see barriers. They're black.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, the only encouraging thing is that people realize this guy is, nobody's taking him seriously.
I mean, I'm glad I'm not, but could you imagine if I was born black, they would be president of the world.
How many? I would probably be in my fourth term.
I'd probably be
right
in my sixth term as president. I'd be a multi-billionaire.
You should be using a Romney voice for that.
That's true.
Well, yeah.
Folks,
imagine if I was black. I would be crushing it.
Folks, as you know, leaving your office, always a drag. Maybe you have to walk or drive, take the subway. Thankfully, you can avoid leaving your office if you have to go to the post office and instead mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international, with Stamps.com. Stamps.com lets you buy and print official postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Simply click print, mail, you are done. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. I would say probably once a month I do this. I can't sleep. I get up at 4 a.m. or something, and I'm like, I might as well do some work because I'm not going to bed. And somebody has bought some DVDs from pilotseasondvds.com, which happens, maybe once a month. I'll put it in a package. I'll print out some stamps. Boom, bang, boom. And I've done it. Once you get over this, if you can just do it, it's impulse work. That's what I call it. Plus, they will, at stamps.com, send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage, help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. For me, always the cheapest. That's what I go for. Lowest class. Even get discounts you can't get at the post office. Stamps.com brings all the service of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. And right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Majority Report. That's Stamps.com. Enter Majority Report. Stamps.com. Never leave your office again. Or your home, for that matter. That's what it's about for me.
Or your bunker.
Or your bunker. Oh, I love this. So you spend a third of your life in your sheets. Nice. Are they taking care of you the way they should be? Introducing brooklinen.com. High-quality sheets and bedding at a price that will not keep you up at night. Founded in 2014, Brooklinen offers simple, beautiful home essentials without the luxury price. That is basically my entire, that's the algorithm of my life. It's the fastest growing bedding brand in the world because people love these products. Their sheets have over 12,000 five-star reviews, plus versatile colors and patterns that complement any decor. This is luxury bedding underpriced. You know, I honestly, like, I think since we have gotten these sheets, Saul has peed in our bed much less.
He respects the work.
I mean, it could be that he's sensing from me that I like these sheets.
I don't think so.
I don't have the ability to go out and buy, like, we're only going to 4 or 5 sets of sheets and we're going to throw away the other sets of sheets. I don't do that, right? I work them in. I have attrition. And so he senses when he gets into bed, like, I don't want this to happen, buddy. It could also be that he's just getting older. I mean, he's 12 now. He should be stuck. No. I love my Brooklinen sheets. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer for just my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code MAJORITY at brooklinen.com. In fact, Brooklinen, so confident you'll love your new sheets, they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. There's no reason not to give these sheets a try. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping, use the promo code MAJORITY at brooklinen.com. That's Brook, B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N, brooklinen.com, promo code MAJORITY. Brooklinen, these sheets are the best ever. Now, you know who else is... We got to go through this with Jesse. Oh, no, let's do this. So imagine you've left your home in New York City. Your family maybe will eventually follow you as you head down to Washington, D.C. It's a place you never liked to live. You grew up in New York. Maybe you started in Queens, looking across the water, the big building, saying, I want to be part of that. I want to be a hero and a celebrity in that city. And then finally, because maybe you were able to motivate the racist core of this country enough, you accidentally fell into the White House and became everything you knew that your daddy knew you couldn't become. And then the prodigal son returns back to New York City to bathe in the adoration of New York City dwellers.
Fuck you.
And you get back to your own tower that you've named, of course, after yourself. And they give you this warm reception.
New York hates you! New York hates you! New York hates you! New York hates you! New York hates you!
There you go. Bringing people together.
Donald Trump, boo.
I want to bring people together.
Brought people together.
That was great.
There's people in the Upper East Side who live in townhouses. They hate me. People in Alphabet City on subsidized housing. They'll hate me. I brought them together.
I did it. Obama never could do that.
Obama never could do that.
He could never do that.
Never do that.
He only had white people to hate him.
Everyone else liked him. Totally unfair.
Folks, around this office, we know it. When it comes to snacks, sometimes it feels like the only options are delicious and a billion calories. That's the way it feels for me. Or boring and tasteless. But it does not have to be that way. We had a whole set of Nature Box.
Gone.
Delicious. And Nature Box has over 100 snacks that taste good and all are made from high-quality, simple ingredients. That means no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. Old Matt would not have enjoyed these. Old Matt has snacks that are exclusively 100% artificial flavor and color.
Too much natural ingredients in there for me, both. I get the concept, but so you can not feel, agreeing with my stomach.
You can feel good about what you're eating. What was the kind that I liked? Those cheese twirls.
Cheese twirls, yes.
They were, I've never had anything like this before. No, I know. I attacked them.
I want more.
And also the vanilla bean wafers. The vanilla bean wafers are like little cookies. Saul loved those too. Plus, they add new snacks inspired by real customer feedback, the latest food trends, and professional chefs every month. It's so simple. Just go to naturebox.com, choose the snacks you want, and NatureBox will deliver them right to your door. There's no risk. If you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free. So you're sure to find your new snack obsession. Right now, you'll save even more. NatureBox is offering our listeners 3 free snacks. I feel like Matt would go in on that. Just
for the freedom. But new Matt. I don't know. I would prefer to eat that. There's something you can get at this bodega. It's Swedish fish with even more food coloring.
New Matt is already setting up like dummy email accounts and getting fake credit cards.
I was eating some last time we did this ad, and I'm having a Pavlovian reaction over here.
Although New Matt Stealth has a pretty disgusting diet himself, let's be honest.
But he doesn't flaunt it.
No.
NatureBox is offering our listeners 3 free snacks with your first order when you go to naturebox.com/majority. That's naturebox.com/majority for 3 free snacks with your first order. naturebox.com/majority. I mentioned this yesterday, but sort of anticipating that we would hear this from the right, and we have from the most base of spokespeople for the right, Jesse Waters, who, oddly enough, I mean, this is very surprising. I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying that he really does fit the profile of a lot of these guys who are marching, right? College, white, thinks that it's comedy to go down to Chinatown and interview people who don't speak English.
And when they're called out on it for it being a hacky, racist, lame segment, gets really aggrieved and emotional.
Has a
plum position in life, even though he has absolutely no talent.
There's a lot of aggrievement associated with this. And a lot of people had to sexually harass a lot of other people for Jesse Waters to get to where he is today. But here he is taking issue with all of the insistence that Donald Trump actually address the neo-Nazis who rallied and Klansmen who rallied and the white supremacists who rallied, ending in the death of at least one person and the injuries of 35 others, and not to mention the 2 state troopers who went down the helicopter because they were dealing with this protest. But the direct the direct line between the deaths of this woman and the white supremacists. But here is Jesse Waters.
And the same people who don't like Donald Trump saying Islamic terrorism are urging him now to say white supremacism for a party who called Islamic terrorism.
Pause it. Now, let's just, I mentioned this yesterday, but let's be clear. Islamic terrorism implies that the terrorism is a function of Islam. White supremacism says that this supremacism is bad and that it is one which inherent, which specifically is saying white people over others. Nobody's calling for Donald Trump to say white terrorism. Go ahead.
People who don't like Donald Trump saying Islamic terrorism are urging him now to say white supremacism for a party who called Islamic terrorism workplace violence. Spare everybody the lectures. If hundreds of thousands of Islamic terrorists have nothing to do with Islam, then why does one white supremacist have anything to do with
Donald? I'm sorry. How many hundreds of thousands of what? Play that again.
If Islamic terrorists have nothing to do with Islam, place violence, spare everybody the lectures. If hundreds of thousands of Islamic terrorists have nothing to do with Islam, then why does one white supremacist have anything to do with Donald Trump? We can use the left's own rationalizations against them all day, but we won't. It's tedious to listen to both sides fight over which side hates Nazis more. What we saw in Charlottesville were fringe fanatics who don't represent this country. America is not a racist nation. It's time we stop acting like it is.
Well, first off, these fringe folks, you know, one of them is already, I think, starting his campaign for a Republican office, which, of course, I guess anybody can do. But Steven, this is from 2014. This week, when Representative Steve Scalise, third-ranking House Republican leader, found himself trying to explain why he accepted a speaking engagement offered by a key aide to David Duke in 2002, it was a reminder of the awkward dance. It's an awkward dance and hard choices that Republicans in Louisiana faced in the 90s when Mr. Duke was one of the most charismatic politicians in the state. Wonder why that dance was so awkward. Wonder why that was a dance. Wonder why that was a hard choice. Stephanie Grace, a Louisiana political reporter and columnist for the past 20 years with the Times-Picayune in New Orleans, now the advocate of Baton Rouge, recalled her first meeting with Mr. Scalise. He was explaining his politics, and we were in this getting-to-know-each-other stage. It's getting-to-know-each-other. He told me he was like David Duke without the baggage. I think he meant he supported the same policy ideas as Duke, but he wasn't David Duke, and that he didn't have the same feelings about certain people as David Duke did. Yeah, he's David Duke without the baggage.
And without the feelings about certain people? That is the point of David Duke, is his feelings about certain people. What is that? It's like, I'm like a hamburger without the burger.
Burger part, or the ham.
Or the ham, or anything involving it. But besides that, just like him.
I'm just like David Duke without the baggage of being a well-known KKK grand wizard.
I'm slightly different. I'm not known for hating Jews and blacks.
Go back to the beginning of this. Do the first half. Do you have the first half of this Jesse Waters thing? Yeah. Where he actually starts it.
And the same people who don't like Donald Trump saying Islamic terrorism.
There's another half of this. Okay, we don't have it. There was the first half of what he was arguing here too was also completely out of.
Hey Steve, how's your hip doing?
Let's go back and find that first half of that because we can run that together because the Waters is so stupid here,
he's so stupid here.
Well,
that's part of his core brand proposition.
Yes. Somebody's got to do it. Okay.
Should we just
Yeah.
In Charlottesville, that is the subject of tonight's Waters Words. White nationalists.
Oh, look at that. Hold on for one second. This is great. He came up with another alliteration.
Waters.
It used to be Waters World, and now it's Waters Words. That's great. Oh, good for him.
Saturday, protesting the removal of a Robert E. Lee statue. It's important to note that this was a nationwide rally that had been advertised for a month, yet only a few hundred people showed up. This shows you how fringe the movement is. But it wasn't just white supremacists who showed up. Black Lives Matter radicals, Antifa members, and other so-called anti-fascist left-wing fringe groups descended upon the scene looking for trouble. Both sides came armed with armed to the teeth with pepper spray, makeshift clubs, and shields. Here's an image.
Pause it for one second. Both sides did not show up with military-style weapons, I should say. There was one group that apparently was on the fringe of the park and never came close. But the others were pretty well-armed. Go ahead.
Encapsulates what was going on. Shockingly, law enforcement in Charlottesville did not get in between the protesters or disperse the crowd, even as it turned violent. Fox News reporter Doug McElway reported it this way.
Nobody was intent upon peace here from either side. People were intent on causing havoc and causing damage. And even as wounded were being brought out of the park, the police were sitting idly by. But when the tear gas started to fly, thrown by protesters, the police themselves began to evacuate that. I asked the guy who was in charge, I said, where are you going? He said, we're leaving. It's too dangerous. They had an opportunity to nip this thing in the bud, and they chose not to.
The police chief and the Charlottesville mayor are going to have to answer for this dereliction of duty. Things turned deadly.
Pause it now. Now, no mention of the weapons that are there, right? I mean, we have a classic case of where the Second Amendment rights of these people to carry guns basically prevented people who wanted to peacefully protest to protest. That, you know, that needs to be discussed, I think, a little bit more going forward. All right, we don't have exactly the clip there that I want to get, but here is J.D. Vance, author on CBS This Morning, giving us a sense of who these people at these protests were. And, like, you know, look, there's been this, this is not your grandfather's or great-grandfather's Klan. These are young, middle-class, in some instances well-to-do people marching for white supremacy. And here's J.D. Vance explaining that.
The alt-right movement, this neo-Nazi movement, is actually really driven by well-to-do middle-class folks, people who have a good education. In some ways, that's perfectly highlighted by the organizer of the rally yesterday, who went to the University of Virginia, one of the nation's great universities. So it's very tempting, I think, and comforting to try to stereotype these white nationalists as a bunch of knuckle-dragging, slack-jawed yokels. But the truth is that these are kids who are doing pretty well and are still attracted to this stuff. And I think that's...
And look, you know, the bottom line is that the right can refer to these people as fringe. But we need only look at some of the biggest projects of the Republican Party. We have an attorney general who is actively engaged in voter suppression efforts along with the so-called Election Integrity Commission in trying to bump largely African-American voters off the rolls. The state of Indiana is being sued right now because its legislature imposed voting restrictions on one of something like 90 counties in the state, with the second, just so happened to have the second largest African American and Latino populations in the state. We've seen this in North Carolina, which have had voting restrictions rolled back because of racial bias and intent was found by the Supreme Court, a Supreme Court which also the Republican-appointed justices on there said that America has changed. There's no racism left in this country. We don't need preclearance. We don't need an operative Voting Rights Act to a large degree. These guys, and they know it too. I mean, these guys who protest, they know they're the tip of the spear. And we all know that the spear is the Republican Party in this case. It's not to say that there aren't racists in the Democratic Party. But as a political institution, they are not leveraging it for electoral purposes. They don't have the ability to do that. Or for that matter, you know, in Jesse Waters' case, you know, a job. Meanwhile, across the country, in many respects, what happened, and this has been an ongoing effort, maybe before Dylann Roof, but certainly in the wake of Dylann Roof going in and killing people in a black church. The mayors of Baltimore and Lexington, Kentucky, said on Monday they'd push ahead with plans to remove Confederate statues. Officials in Memphis, Tennessee, and Jacksonville, Florida, announced new initiatives on Monday at taking down Confederate monuments. And Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam, a Republican, urged lawmakers to rid the state's capital of a bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest, a Confederate general and an early member of the KKK. Meanwhile, in Durham, North Carolina, outside a courthouse, protesters came in there and basically pulled down a statue. Here it is.
No KKK, no fascists, USA!
So there it is, a statue of, I guess it was a generic Confederate infantry man pulled down. As of April, 60 symbols of the Confederacy have been removed or renamed across the United States in 2015, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. New Orleans, as you know, earlier this year had to do it in the middle of the night. These, Carl Jones, chief of heritage operations for the Sons of the Confederate Veterans, said this. Where does it stop? The Egyptian pyramids were built by slaves. Do we tear those down? Now, I, for one, actually don't feel that people should be going out and vandalizing these things. I think they should be taken down and moved. Shouldn't be destroyed. They should be moved into a place so that people for future generations can understand why they were moved. Why these statues are somewhat of a disgrace. I think that's important. You don't want to erase the history. You want to show how we have moved past at least in terms of the way that we view history. We've moved past honoring this rebellion in service of slavery to like and more importantly, the era when these statues went up, which was really celebrating not the exploits of the Civil War, but rather the ability to roll back Reconstruction-era laws and introduce Jim Crow. And so it's not analogous, obviously, because these statues weren't built by slaves. They are celebrating the repression of people and the enslavement of people. And then also it turns out that the Egyptian archaeologists say the tombs found there, the Great Pyramids, prove they were built by free workers, not slaves. But even if it were the case, and if he wants to know where it ends, I would say, at least from my perspective, with taking down all the Confederate symbols and putting them in, you know, you want to even have a museum of bad ideas. In that, I'm down with.
What are we going to do now? Pull down the pyramids? I mean, it just never ends. Hashtag double standards. Hashtag unfair.
Maybe we should, though, if Egypt doesn't play the cards. You know,
yeah,
how we
maybe
want.
We should. Maybe we'll be telling. But General Sisi's a great guy.
As long as he says good things about me, I'm down with it.
The only thing keeping me from full Nazism is my narcissism and fondness for certain Middle Eastern dictators. How can I fully embrace racism when the Saudi royal family exists? They're great guys.
Let's take an opportunity just to look into what Rush Limbaugh is doing these days.
I feel like it's going to be really clever.
Rush Limbaugh decided to tackle this head on and is trying to argue that Nazis and leftists are finding common cause was an avowed leftist who was killed by this Nazi in Charlottesville. But let's make some comedy about that, shall we? Let's go back to the 1950s and see what was going on during humor back then. No, this happened this week, didn't it?
You know, folks, togetherness, these two groups, the fringe, the Nazis, the white supremacists, and the Black Lives Matter, and that crowd on the left. Seems to me that bringing these two sides together should not be that hard.
Why are you two guys fighting when both of you have so much in common?
Like what?
Well, white supremacists don't like Jews and leftists hate Israel.
You do?
Yeah.
Progressives hate the Catholic Church and so do the Klan members.
He's right.
Neither one of you really cares if poor African American kids make it in school or not.
They should all be in government schools.
With their own kind.
To avoid white privilege.
Yeah.
And did you know Nazi party members were not just fascists, they were also committed socialists?
I guess I can at least meet you halfway then.
Me too, brother.
Doesn't it feel good to get along?
Absolutely.
Well, I reckon.
Great. Then why don't you two guys just get the hell out of town?
Okay, we're going.
But we'll be back.
Protesting you.
Together.
Uh-huh.
That was an interesting piece of satire.
I thought that was really just out of bounds.
Just offensive. And the notion of equating hating Israel with anti-Semitism. And by the way, Klans people are gross. So I don't think we'll be having an alliance with them.
I know. I can't believe how... I will say this. I found it offensive, but I found it offensive because it was so right on the nose.
I mean, when you could just nail us dead to rights like that, I mean, we have no response other than to say Russia's practicing white privilege. He's practicing uber privilege.
I don't want to even be near white privilege. I need to get away from it. That's why we need to send everybody to different government schools. That's the way it works.
And I'll tell you what, if you want to work together to send everybody to government schools where they don't exercise white privilege, we can build a coalition. Collision.
Quality stuff by the Rush Bow there.
Wow.
That was very dependent on making funny voices, that humor. Like, oh, okay, I reckon.
I do, yeah. Like, and I also, it's so, I love how out it, it's like, okay, fair enough. The liberal guy is always going to have, like, the, like, and I do like the, I'm Rush, I condemn racism, I'm going to really quadruple down on the homophobia. That's funny. But I also like the, but it's like, of course, the liberal voice, of course, has to be, like, the ultra-fey ridiculous voice, but it's just, I like how, like, every time you talk to these, like, Richard Spencer guys, and they all have these, like, kind of, you know, creepy sort of pseudo-Ivy League accents, and he's still just doubling down and like, nope, the guys with khakis
well,
and tiki torches absolutely were. We're here because we were at an IQ forum with Charles Murray.
Also, this... well... I wanted to just talk about this briefly, actually. This is a little bit off topic. Maybe I'll save that for the fun half. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to head into the fun half. Tomorrow, we're going to try and return to normal programming. But this weekend, rather disturbing. You know, over the past, really, the past two or three weeks, we have seen... the two worst parts and most unique parts of Donald Trump, as opposed to the broader Republican agenda. Well, I gotta maybe rephrase that. We've seen Donald Trump basically go off and be rather carefree about the prospect of starting a nuclear conflict. And then we've seen the white nationalism, the full-throated white nationalism, which I would argue is actually worse than the more subtle white nationalism. Maybe there's more opportunity for people to fight against it because it's so out in the obvious, it's so obvious and so out in front, but there's still, you know, You're going to see Confederate statues being pulled down across the country, but nobody's pushing back on their plans to disenfranchise more black voters across the country. Nobody's pushing back upon what the Department of Justice is doing in terms of affirmative action cases, seeking out white plaintiffs to file discrimination charges against universities that are trying to create diverse student bodies or maintain diverse student bodies. You know, none of that stuff is going down. So it's really sort of the top line of stuff. And when we get into the fall, you know, we're now 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away from the absolute crap storm that is going to be here when it comes to the debt ceiling, when it comes to the budgetary process. And, you know, I keep reading around the edges that Lindsey Graham is out there trying to raise interest in his repeal and replace program.
Don't y'all want to look at my health care plan?
And there you go.
We could get rid of Medicaid real quiet like, but keeping all the taxes, really put the screws on all them people earning less than $1 million a year. Mint julep, anyone?
Indeed.
Blood and soil. You won't replace me. I know how to keep up with the times.
Scott Pruitt, meanwhile, dismantling the EPA and doing it all in an incredible amount of secret. Apparently now they're not even using emails. He's not even making phone calls in his own office. He wants nothing recorded of what they're doing. Nothing. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will take phone calls and do IMs. Folks, it's your support that makes the show possible. If you have the financial means to support this program and you enjoy it and it's important to you, head over to jointhemajorityreport.com, become a member, it's not even close to a cup of coffee a day these days. It's like probably 3 cups of coffee a month. Maybe 1 cup of coffee a week. And you'll still have, you know, some change left over to support this program. Join themajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop. Fair trade. There you go. I've just figured it all out for you, folks. You buy your Just Coffee. Save some money there. You grind your own. And the savings? You buy a membership to the show. JustCoffee.coop. Fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. Also, if you buy your crap from Amazon or Jet.com, do so at our link at MajorityReportKickback.com. Don't forget, tonight, it's Tuesday night, right?
Tuesday night.
Trademark BS happening live 7 p.m. on our YouTube channel. Head over to YouTube.com/Sam Cedar, which is the Majority Report channel. See the show live. Of course, it plays audio on the app.
Thanks to the first, I think it's 523 members on Patreon, getting all of the bonus content and the Discord. And Jabari Brisport will be
what
in studio.
What is Discord? What does that mean?
It's different. It's basically Patreon's version of Slack.
Oh, all right.
So you come in, we're using that, so it's integrated with the rest of the Patreon system. It's easier to use. I think it was initially created for gamers, right? It's a gamer thing.
I'm not super up to date on it.
No shit. I don't have an account yet. Nice.
Oh. All right, folks. I got to get an account and do some harassing. That's a good point. 646-257-3920. We'll be right back after this.
Oh,